will take communion after the service today. So we've got, well, I'm going to pray for us. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for the freedom to assemble and worship you the way we choose. Father, we thank you that this is a blood-bought right, not only by Jesus, but by our veterans who fought to preserve the Constitution for us. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit who teaches us and guides us and shows us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. And we thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you have given unto us so we are able to open your Bible and learn from you and receive the things that we need to live in this life the way you designed us to the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Everybody is faced with this question today. And we've been faced with it for a while now. But you have to make a decision and you have to draw a line in the sand. What's more relevant? What the press says? What the media says? What the Bible says? But most of the church has put more confidence in and more weight in what this says. Most of the world, more than what this says. I'm going to tell you something. This is, and what's written in it, is going to burn up before it hits the pit of hell. This won't. This was established before the beginning of time. This will last for eternity. The words in this Bible are more true than any fact, any scientist or any politician or any editor might have come up with. This is more relevant. You know, everybody gets faced with the same thing we get faced with. You know, you're not facing anything new. The big question is, who is God? Who is God? Who is God? Turn to Matthew chapter 16. Verse 16. You know, people try to find God in the mountains, and they try to find God in the trees, and they try to find God in different groups and societies and meetings and all kinds of different ways. The only way to find God is in His Word. The Bible says that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld and called His name Jesus. See, when we get in the storms of life, it's easy to look at the wind and the waves. But that will cause you to sink. That will cause you to become fearful at heart. One of the most irritating things I heard this past week was a preacher say, "I don't care how much faith you have, you shouldn't be going to church." That's stupid. It's not about how much faith you have. It's about how much you need Jesus. Amen? The Bible does say, "Do not forsake the gathering of the brethren." You know, Peter and his disciple buddies were on the shore, and Jesus constrained them to get on a boat and go across. Now, these were professional fishermen. And you know, they got used to looking around and seeing what was going on. You know, they knew, hey, there's a storm cloud right over there. Jesus said, get on that boat and go over to the other side. So they were out on that boat and the storm hit. And the wind and the waves were bad, you know. And Jesus walked out on the water. And Peter said, if it be you, bid me to come out there. And he said, yeah, it's me. Come on. You know, there was 12 disciples in that boat. They all heard that word. Only one of them jumped out of the boat. And he walked on water. Now, the people like to make a major out of him sinking. He walked on water. And he got out there as far as his faith could take him, evidently. And he got to looking at the wind and the waves. And he started sinking. Now, I don't know if he got up to his nose or if he got up to his ankles. It doesn't matter. What matters is he cried out and said, Jesus, save me. And they walked back to the boat. Supernatural faith kicked in. And they got the job done. Amen? Don't forget to cry out to Jesus when it gets too deep. Amen? Now look at, we have to have a revelation of who God is, who Jesus is. Look at Matthew chapter 16. Let me get over there. Matthew chapter 16. Well, let's go to verse 13. So, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but who say ye that I am? Who do you say Jesus is? This is a question that everybody will be faced with. Everybody is faced with. Who is Jesus? Who is God? Is he Lord? Is he a good prophet? Is he a good guy? You know, Muslims say that he was a good prophet. The world says he was a guy that walked around and did some pretty good stuff. Maybe everybody in here I know is born again. Maybe there's somebody watching that isn't born again. This is where you build your life on the rock. The Bible tells us that God raised Jesus back to life. We're getting ready to celebrate Resurrection Sunday. You know, it's coming along. The Bible tells us that God raised Jesus back to life. And that if we confess him to be Lord, we shall be saved. If we believe that God raised him back to life, confess Jesus to be Lord, we shall be saved. You know, there's somebody listening on this tape that needs to be born again, and you know who you are. And I'm going to give you that invitation right now. You just say this prayer out of your mouth. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I believe that God raised you back to life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I ask you to come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. This day I confess you to be Lord of my life. If you've done that, you're born again. And you qualify for all the blessings of God. Now we're going to see what he has become to you. Look down here. Matthew 16. 16. Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He identified him. Jesus identified him right there. He got him found. And here's what Jesus said. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, he wasn't building the church on Peter. He was building the church on that rock of revelation. He said, "Peter, you got that from God. You didn't get that from man. You got that from a revelation from God." That's what he builds his church on. The more revelation you get of who Jesus is, the stronger and more confident you are going to be in Christ. Amen? The more you learn of Jesus, the more real he's going to be to you. Now, go to Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into his ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Fear is found in articles like this. Fear is false evidence appearing real. It may be full of facts, natural facts that people have learned from their experiences with the world, but it is not filled with the truth. It's one thing for the publisher to say something, or the scientist to say something, or the doctor to say something. It's quite another thing for the great I am to say something. Amen? Since we're talking about the great I am, let's go to Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. And we're going to find another guy that had to figure out who God was. And he asked who God was. And I'll tell you something about Moses. See, he was raised, he was supposed to be killed. The people were trying to kill him when he was a baby. They were trying to kill all the babies. It was a decree, get rid of all them Jewish babies. But his mama put him into a basket and sent him out there, and the Pharaoh's daughter found him in the reed and liked this baby. So they took this baby in and raised him. He ate the best food in the land. He got the best education in the land. The devil tried to kill him, but God preserved him. And he used the devil's finances to do it. Anyway, that, see, you would think, now here's a man qualified for the job to deliver my people from Israel, or my people Israel from Egypt. But that's not the way it went. See, there had to be a dumbing down of this guy. He sent him out to be a plain old goat herder for a long time. And after he spent enough time out in the desert, just being a plain old goat herder, where it was obvious his education couldn't get the job done, his talents couldn't get the job done, his good looks couldn't get the job done, only God could get the job done. Only then did God put that rod in his hand and send him to town and tell him to send my people home. God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. Amen. You don't have to be super talented. You don't have to be super anything. He just wants somebody, they'll go. Believe me, he's not looking for super talented, super educated people when he calls preachers. But thou will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, will do that which is right in his sight, will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Is he healer? What's that? Oh, I'm sorry. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Yeah. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Did you see he put that I am in there? I am that I am. The great I am. I am the Lord that healeth thee. He is our healer. He's our healer. He's Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. I am the Lord that healeth thee. He is our healer. You know, they're running around trying to find some super vaccine for this COVID bug. I got it. It's the blood of Jesus. You know, the passion of Christ, when he took those stripes on his back, he paid for every disease. Every stripe represented, basically they got a root for every different disease. Every stripe took care of one of those roots. It was a bloody sacrifice. It was a horrible ordeal. When they drug that cat on nine nails across his back, see, they'd weave pieces of sharp iron or glass and stuff into the hooks into this thing. So it wasn't just a whip going across his back. They would get it in there so them points and those jagged edges could get a hold of his flesh, and they'd drag it across his back and they'd rip skin and flesh off of his back. And that blood would fly. It was a bloody sacrifice. It was a glorious thing in the eyes of God. And he did it for us. See, everything that he did, if there was ever something Jesus didn't do, we'd have to do it. That means if we needed to be healed, we'd have to go to the whipping post. But he did it for us. He paid for our healing right there. All of it. That was the worst execution that these Roman soldiers ever seen. There was nothing so horrible. They'd never seen such a thing. The Bible tells us that when he was on the cross, they couldn't even recognize him as being a human being. And a Roman soldier looked up and said, "This was the Son of God." And he did it for you. He did it for me. He paid for everything. Look at John chapter 8, verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. Do you need light in a dark situation? Sometimes you just need guidance. Then spoke Jesus again, saying unto them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You want to know how easy it is to walk in darkness? It's that easy. Pick it up and read it and do everything they say. That's how easy it is to walk in darkness. Now there's information, usable information in the newspaper. I'm not denying that. But look, this is the truth of the Word of God. This is how we live. This is how we exist. This is how we were created. Amen. You need light in your dark situation. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Cast your eyes upon him. You know, it's an interesting thing. When Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they were walking out in the desert, and they did something wrong, and they got bit by these serpents. There was a bunch of them got bit. And God told Moses, said, take a pole. Now, remember, when you're wandering around in the Old Testament, you're looking for types and shadows of Jesus and the cross and sacrifice. He said, take a pole. I want you to make a bronze serpent and put it on this pole. Somebody's saying, well, how could you compare Jesus to a serpent? I'm not. But listen, bronze in the Old Testament, in the Bible, is always significant of sin. He said, all that look upon that bronze serpent on that pole will be healed. The ones that did got healed. Why? Because they could see their sin on that pole as being judged. They seen their sin on that pole being judged, and they got healed. The ones that didn't look at it didn't get healed. The ones that looked to Jesus as their salvation are saved. The ones that don't look to Jesus as their salvation are not. Amen. Cast your eyes upon Jesus and leave them there. There's too many distractions. There's too many people saying, well, we got to do this or we're not going to survive this. We got to do this, we're not going to survive that. And the stock market's crashing. What do? Start a new business. How can you do that? Because God is my source. He's on a whole different financial system than what this world is. Amen? Well, they're shutting everything down. They're not shutting God down. They're not shutting God down. Cast your eyes upon him. Trust in him. Do you need a way out of a bad situation? Look at Psalms chapter 18. You know, sometimes we weave when we should have wobbled. I mean, Christians are not we're not beyond making mistakes. I mean, sometimes I like what one person said. You know why you got a little pinky toe? That's to make sure all your furniture is in the right place. I suppose there's some people that have reached true sainthood that don't embarrass the angels when they find out where that furniture is. Psalm chapter 18, verse 2 says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." So how do we make that a part of our life? Open up that Bible, get your glasses on, and say this: "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, and my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemy." And you say it again, and you read it again, and you read it again, and you say it again out of your mouth so that your ears can hear it. And you say it again, and you say it again, and you say it again. Why? As God told Joshua to meditate on my word day and night. Don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Amen? Is this so we can be obedient in religion? No, this is so we can get the word in our heart and learn of Jesus and who he is and get a revelation of it. That's how we get a revelation of it. We hear it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We hear it. And we hear it, and we hear it, and we hear it, and we hear it. And then pretty soon, it hits. And then deep inside of you, you hear that agreement. Then, oh yeah, the Lord is my rock and my salvation. Amen? Amen. It's kind of fun stuff. Go to verse 16, that same psalm. "He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters." See what happened? The psalmist said that. He meditated on that. He meditated on that. We can learn a lot from David. You know, he talked to himself. He did. One of his songs, he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." He was telling his mind what it was going to think on. That's what you got to do. That's what I got to do. That's what everybody's got to do. Well, what do you want to think on? You want to think on the COVID? Or do you want to think on the covenant? You choose. Which one do you want to meditate on? I'm going to choose the covenant. Amen? Look at John chapter 11. I like John. You want to learn of Jesus? Read the book of John. He teaches, he reveals himself a lot in there, who he is. He talks about you in there. John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life." The resurrection and the life. "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I am." There's that word again. I am. I am the resurrection and the life. You know, when he said that, his friend was sick. You know, he was in another town, and they came down and they said, "Hey, Lazarus is sick. You better get up there, pray for him." So he did, and he went around, did some other stuff before he got there. And he got there, and Lazarus' sister come out there and said, "If you'd just got here a few days ago, you'd be all right." He's already in the tomb, man. He's been in there 4 days. He stunk when he is here. He's surely stinking now. But Jesus was meddling with their religion and their superstitious beliefs. See, he was in there 4 days. That's corruption. See, Jesus never saw corruption. He was in there 3. But the Jewish beliefs, their tradition was that the spirit would hang around for 3 days till corruption set in. And once corruption set in, then the spirit would take off. And then you were truly dead. So here's Lazarus, been in the tomb 4 days. And the religious mafia was following him around. And he raised Lazarus back to life after he'd been dead 4 days. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." He has power over death. He has authority over death. He said, "He that believeth on me shall never die." Now we can look death in the face and say, "Oh death, where is your sting? You've already done all the dying you're going to do. If you wear your body out, you just change addresses. Your spirit is not going to die. Now, if you're not born again, your spirit is not going to die. This is why it's so very important for you to get born again now. Whether you get born again or not, your spirit is not going to die. And your soul is going to stay attached. Now, if you're born again, you're going to be right in the presence of God. If not, you're going to be eternally separated from God with no way to ever have that mended. Grandma cannot pray you out of purgatory because it's not there. It's existing and wondering if they have any purpose. John chapter 11, verse 25 gives light on that. "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Because he lives, life is worth the living." Because he lives. Everything about our life is wrapped up in the fact that he lives. Amen. Go to John chapter 10, verse 10. John 10, 10. Yes, sir. That's a good translation. Yes, I like that. Do you believe this? That's important. Yes. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." See, God took the blame for a lot of stuff in the Old Testament. Love does that. He'll take the blame for a lot of stuff. Jesus got down here and he set the record straight. He wanted people to know who the thief was and what the thief did. If it's stealing, killing, and destroying, it's the thief. COVID-19 came from the thief. the thief. It did not come from God. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That's what we're after. We want that Zoe kind of life flowing through us to such a degree that the world looks at us and says, why isn't that guy wearing a mask and gloves? Is he nuts? Is he on heroin? What's wrong with that guy? And they'll keep watching. And they say, why isn't he getting sick? Why isn't he hiding out? And finally they'll come and ask you. And then you must have an answer for them. Jesus is Lord. Amen? Some point, the church is going to have to stand up and say that Jesus is Lord, even over the coronavirus. Jesus is Lord over everything. Now look at verse 11. This is a cool one. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. Are you afraid of what's ahead? Some people are afraid of what's ahead. They don't know Jesus as their good shepherd. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. You know, he didn't tie the economy to that verse. He didn't say, I shall not lack as long as the oil field is booming. He didn't say, I shall not lack as long as the economy, as long as the economy is robust. The stock market's high. The Dow's doing good. No, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. That's a well-fed sheep by the calm, peaceful water. He has a rod and a staff. It irritates me when preachers get this wrong. The staff, you ever seen a true shepherd staff? See, I grew up in sheep country, and they still had some of those long canes like this. And you could walk around with that. But here's the thing. These sheep would walk out sometimes when it'd get a little bit dry. They called it bogs. And one of the jaws would be dried bogs. Well, these sheep would get out there into this mud trying to reach water and they get stuck. Well, the guy with that cane could reach out there and get that sheep around the neck and pull him to safety. And then they had that rod, and that was for predators. Nothing about a rod and staff is ever intended to abuse a sheep with. It's always for the loving care of the sheep. Jesus is a good shepherd. He never harms his sheep to teach them a lesson. He takes them to safety. He protects them. He feeds them. He leads them. He guides them. Look at Revelation chapter 1. We'll start getting this thing tied up here. I know nobody's in a hurry to go watch football. Revelation chapter 1, verse 11. Saying, and this is in red. This is Jesus speaking. Said, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea, all these places. He wanted people to know that I am Alpha and Omega. Are you confused about the reports of man? People get that way, but you got to know that Jesus has the first word and the last word concerning you. He is the beginning and the end. He has the final say over you. Now, what you believe is what you're going to receive. If you believe the reports of man, it might not go so well for you. You believe the Word of God, you're going to be fine. Here's what God has to say to you. The great I am declares to you, fear not, for I am to you what you need me to be. You need him to be Savior? That's him. Need him to be healer? That's him. Deliverer? That's him. Protector? That's him. Redeemer? That's him. Provider? That's him. The light? That's him. The bread of life? That's him. The shepherd? That's him. He is what you need him to be. Now, with that in mind, I need some help with the communion. And we'll proclaim the Lord's death. Every time you proclaim the Lord's death, you also proclaim the devil's defeat. Amen? And you're taking the life of Christ into you. Paul said to discern the body of Christ. The way we do that is to look at the body. That bread. This bread has been beaten flat. Jesus was certainly beaten for us. This bread has stripes in it, and it's by his stripes that we were healed. This bread has been pierced. He was pierced for us. And this bread is slightly burned. I mean that the full wrath of God's fiery judgment was laid on Jesus. That wrath that was meant for us, he took it all. And his body was broken. So Jesus, we're taking this. We need you to be healer in our lives. And you are healer in our lives. You are our redeemer. You are our good shepherd. You are our life. We're taking this. Jesus, we are mindful of your passion that you went through all the way through the whipping post to the cross. We honor the blood. We thank you for your shed blood. Your blood not only redeems us, your blood has washed away our sins, and your blood has made us the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Your blood protects us. Your blood seals in the New Testament promises for us. We plead the blood of Jesus and we thank you for your protection. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you that you are the great I am in our lives. You are everything that we need you to be. We receive that. We thank you that you are the Lord that healeth us. You're our shield and our buckler. You're our protector and the great shepherd. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have coffee and snacks back here and fellowship.